This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, we are joined by Glade Bilby, president of the French Quarter Citizens Group. Glade, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Newell, and happy Mardi Gras. Hopefully the weather continues to be good.
Absolutely. Glade, so a lot was done relative to security measures in the quarter in anticipation of the Super Bowl. A lot of these measures have been carried over for Mardi Gras. How did it work out from the resident perspective thus far?
I think everybody was prepared for it. I mean, we knew there were going to be barricades. We knew there was going to be a kind of a secure block around Bourbon Street between Royal and Dauphine. And everybody's used to some sort of traffic interruption. Of course, the 2 months prior to that, we had a lot of street construction and repaving, milling and repaving. And so there was blockages all over the place. So that wasn't so difficult. I think that people felt very secure. We had National Guardsmen around, a lot of state police, a lot of NOPD, our supplemental police patrol with French Quarter Task Force. So it was very well secured, and I think it went off very well.
Well, it's good to hear. I mean, there, you know, anytime you have security measures deployed, it creates disruptions. I said this earlier today that, you know, we're creatures of habit. We try to do the same thing in the same way, in the same fashion every year, and that's not always available. So I was, you know, this being the first year that they really stepped up these security measures, I was kind of curious as to how people reacted. But we know that you folks are nimble and have to adapt there to all kinds of different challenges daily, right?
We do, indeed, we do. And I think the good thing about living in the quarter is you can walk most places. You need to come and go, but it's a very walkable area as a neighborhood. You know, I've always called it America's most historic neighborhood, and I think that's why most of us have lived there for as long as we have, because it is walkable. You can walk to get something to eat. You can walk to the grocery. You can walk to some of the stores. And certainly we have a lot of friends in the neighborhood. So that's a positive.
Glade, I think communication, too, is really important. I mean, I know there were some years where it seemed to not go very well. How has that worked thus far? And from my appreciation, it seems like there's been more open lines of communication than ever before. Your thoughts?
There certainly has. I know that the state police and Troop NOLA and NOPD down in the 8th District has done a good job as far as telling people where they should go, where they shouldn't go. You had Colin Arnold on earlier, and he's done a terrific job with that. I think that more than ever, people are being transparent. The administration's being more transparent. There was a number of people that met together with Tenio and Braxton's group and the leadership of NOPD prior to maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago to talk about closures and what do we do on Bourbon Street? How is this going to affect things? And one of the things that came from that meeting is the mayor had actually asked the group of people, it was probably 40 people. Does anybody really envision a permanent closure of Bourbon Street? Raise your hand. Nobody raised their hand. And so that's something that we're going to have to deal with security measures after the fact. But there has been a lot of conversation about this because it's going to affect business and residents.
Obviously, permanent is much different than, you know, kind of sporadic or maybe different times of the day, you know, where as long as there's a pattern that can be developed in having adequate ingress and egress, I get the sense that the neighborhood's not opposed to that, right?
No, not to that, but just think about it logistically and what we have now. 19 million tourists a year. That's a lot of stuff coming in, tourists, cars, luggage, food, liquor, and there's a lot of stuff going on every day. So it would be really difficult to close off any significant sections because of that. We have a lot of infrastructure that has to be maintained on a 24/7 basis. So closing it for a certain amount of time, hey, that makes a lot of sense. So I think we're up for some plan, but what happens after Mardi Gras when all of this kind of relaxes? What do we do next? That's what we need.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Need to plan for.
You know, it's interesting. There are other areas of the world that have, you know, very similar type neighborhoods to the French Quarter. You see it more in Europe than you do anywhere else, I think. They seem to be able to work it out, you know, where they've created that balance between residents and commercial operations. And they kind of change the way that they do things, the way that they deliver, the time that they deliver. And, you know, once you get into that repeated pattern, people get used to it. They staff for it. And it's not as big a deal as some folks want to make it to be on the front end.
No, you do, Newell, but I think one of the things that people forget is Venice. It's a much larger area for much less number of tourists per year. We're a very small geographic area for 19 million tourists. When you do a comparison of per 100,000 or per million, we are kind of focused in this one area, and we have a lot of people in one area. So that changes the nature of the conversation. I understand what you're talking about, Paris, Barcelona, Venice, some of the other big cities, even San Francisco, New York. They're much larger than our little footprint here in the French Quarter. So, sure. I mean, you have to take that into consideration. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, there's Barcelona is always, I've talked about it before. It's amazing what they do there. And how they do it, and they it's almost as though they recognize the architectural challenges that they have, the infrastructure challenges that they have, and they've modified waste disposal and how they do go about doing it, even to the extent of the type of containers that they use, which I thought was very interesting, you know, and it took less time, and it was very efficient in the way that they provided services there.
The containers made me think of something. I mean, whatever the circumstances were with the sanitation contract that we had that led us to IV waste right now, Sydney Torres has now smaller garbage trucks that are more effective in the quarter. They don't rattle all the old buildings. They're more nimble. And I think doing things that recognize the status of the architecture, the narrow streets, and the tremendous number of people that come through here is important. And I think Ivy Waste has done a terrific job. I mean, I know you had him on the show not long ago, but you can see it in the street. You can see the cleanliness, the sanitation, how the French Quarter looks a lot better. So I'm going to tell people, you may not want to come down for Mardi Gras because it's crowded and everybody has other things to do, but come down and see how nice we are looking these days through the efforts of French Quarter Management District. We have 95% of the lights lit, which took us 3 years to do. I know you and I have talked about that, but it's well lit up. So we've made a lot of progress because of a football game, let's just say, but we've made a lot of progress nonetheless.
You know, it's interesting, and I'm glad you brought up the example of Sydney because I was going to go there. But if you would think about all the other services that both the city and everyone else has to provide, where when you bring the ordinary equipment into that area, you just completely clog things up, right? And it makes it a lot harder to do any remedial work in there. But if you modify the size truck and how you bring materials in and everything else, it's not even a blip on the screen. And that's really what I was talking about in other areas of the world, that they recognize that if they're going to be able to provide preventive maintenance for the infrastructure, this, that, and otherwise, they have to modify the way they bring materials into that neighborhood and otherwise, because it's different than every other neighborhood.
You're right. You said modifying, that's the appropriate word. When you take garbage trucks, beer trucks, street cleaning trucks, that 4,800 gallons of water that come down the street at 35 miles an hour, all of our fragile buildings, 200-year-old buildings, rattle and crack. If you would put the speed limit down to, let's say, 18 miles an hour, it's a weird number, but it would make people recognize not 15, not 20, 18. That would do a lot to making it better for the rattling and the shaking of all of the houses that are here. And so I think little things like that would go a long way to kind of changing behavior and also making us last a little bit. As you know, anybody that owns an old house is just a steward of the house. It's been there way before I got there, way before after we leave. And I think most of the people that live in the quarter are in the same position. So we want to protect the architecture as well. And modifying behavior would go a long way to doing that.
Blaine, what percentage of the structures in the French Quarter do you believe are still built on cotton bales?
Probably 90% of them. And I'm laughing because most people get in the house and they don't know what's there until something cracks or leans or sinks, and then you know. But you haven't unless it was the fire, but you didn't have the same sort of infrastructure footings and support that you had back in the 1800s that you do now. So a lot of them are just the same as we've always had. So I imagine a very low percentage.
Yeah. And it's interesting. I mean, that's why obviously the work that needs to be done on the cathedral is so important, because I don't know that that's been dealt with for a couple hundred years.
Probably not. And you see little evidence of things cracking, but it's supposed to be sinking as well. And I would imagine everything sinking, even though the Indians were right and the French Quarter is the highest point around here. So when they put us together, it was smart to put the French Quarter in the original historic core right where it's in now. So I think we're in good shape as far as that. But with seas rising and lowering and whatever you want to call global warming or climate change, it's not going to get better by itself.
Glad you mentioned streetlights, and they have finished that project. Is that my understanding?
They're about 90%. There's a few of them that they need to replace a pole. Or we got a report last week from the French Quarter Management District, maybe 95%, and they're wrapping it up. They should be wrapped up within the next 10 days on repairing this. Now it's our charge, and what we want to do is keep some funds in our account so that we can maintain this and not have to rely on another agency to do it. Because, frankly, this has been on French Quarter Management that's done this. And I'd just point out, since we're talking about Mardi Gras, that we also put a kind of a package together with Glass Half Full and are doing bead recycling at some of the hotels, the Nesta, the Mont Leon, the Marriott. And I think last week they did 1,500 pounds of beads, and it was very successful last year. That's why we decided to fund this and do this partnership again. So that's a positive. So French Quarter Management District is doing a lot to think positively about the direction of the quarter and what we can do for the security and to make things better for the residents and businesses.
Absolutely. I know one of the other issues was street signage. Where do we stand there?
Well, it's getting better. They're not all replaced because I walk around enough to see it. But at least now we're putting the sevens back in the no parking on the new repaved streets so that people know not to park there. Because I think a lot of people, if you drive up and you don't have any signage, you just park there if it doesn't tell you not to. But they've done a lot better with the striping and getting things back to where it should be. So I think there's a few signs to go up, but we're in pretty good shape.
Good. Final thoughts?
Well, I just come down and like come down to the quarter, and my mantra is play safe and stay safe. And that's the way to do it. I mean, if you act reckless, it's not going to end up good usually. So come down and have a good time and check us out in the quarter. I'll be on the street. I'm not privileged to be on a balcony like you are, but I'm going to be on the street seeing all the people on Royal
Street. I'm not in the quarter. I'm on St. Charles Avenue.
I know you are. But we just walk around in the neighborhood and everybody's costume, and it's a great time. So I encourage people to come down, and hopefully the weather cooperates with us.
If the weather's anything like it is today, it is going to be jam-packed down there. It'll be a great time for sure.
Yes, it will. Thank you.
Absolutely. Glade Bilby, as always, thank you so much for joining us. Always appreciate your time, your insight. Have a great Mardi Gras.
My pleasure, and you too.
We will be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and text line. Stay with us.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.